Welcome. Thank you for joining me for another episode of FYI I Am Damaged. I'm joined by Genesis, an entrepreneur and owner of Globe by Jen. We're here to talk about her journey with not often discussed topic of gastric bypass. Does it go by another name?
Gastric sleeve. Yes, they're different.
So thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time. It took me a long time to get you here, and I am honored by you joining me. Thank you for being here.
No, thank you for having me. I'm excited, a little nervous, but excited. If it wasn't for you being so, you know, persistent, pushing me out of my comfort zone, we wouldn't be here.
I really want to make sure that you get your story across. Seeing you on Instagram, answering all the questions of everyone who comes to you, this is something that's rarely discussed. Do you feel that way?
Oh, no, definitely. It's not discussed because people see it as such of like a easy way out. But in reality is so many people like qualify for this and so many people will benefit from this. But only 1% of people who qualify actually do this. It's not something discussed or even recommended a lot. Actually, it's recommended by doctors. It's just not followed through with.
And being at the forefront of mental strength for mental health, I'd be remiss to not, from time to time, focus on the other side of life's coin and the physical challenges we go through. That still works in tandem with our mental journey of health and strength, which is why we're here today. You started your journey with your gastric sleeve procedure in the beginning of this year and have been cataloging your physical rebirth on Instagram. What can you identify as the spark that put this in motion? You've referenced a photo that struck you so hard. Can you give us a view into how it started?
Well, as long as I can remember, I've always struggled with my weight. You know, I've done all the crash diets. I've done, you know, weight loss pills before. The immediate females, like my mother, my sister, they're already thin. So it's difficult for me to look at that. And then I'll eat like a pizza and I'll gain like 5 pounds. May of last year, early June of last year, we had a baby shower for my younger sister. And once we got those photos back, I looked at myself and I was like, okay, I have to do something because like enough is enough. I don't know how I got here.
And it was immediate. You always see yourself physically different from how, like you say, your family structured.
I've always saw myself different. However, I was never like, you know, I never reached this point where I was like, you know, I'm going to look into weight loss surgery. But that photo, you know, it was like enough. I mean, it was that same night when I got the photos back, I was like, I need to figure something out. So I got into doing research, and within a couple of days, I had made the decision to get at least a consultation with somebody.
There wasn't anything else you would have considered, or have you considered, before going this route?
Well, I just felt like I've done all the diets. You know, for years before that, for like 2-3 years, I did the keto diet. And that worked for me for some time. But it's just as soon as you're not consistent with it, the weight comes back.
Not being consistent with it, was it exhausting to be on a certain type of diet? Or for those that are even considering, you know, not even doing the surgery yet, but giving those a chance?
Oh, no, definitely exhausting. You know, I wasn't enjoying my food. And I'm the type of person that I like to enjoy my food. And I you know when I'm on those diets, usually I'm not happy.
What didn't you like about it? Is something specific or just in as a
whole? No, it's just, I don't know. I wasn't enjoying what I was eating, and I feel like meals, you should enjoy them.
Yeah.
You should be happy about what you're eating.
Are you a foodie type of person?
I feel like I was. Now I mean I still can be, just not like before, but yeah.
I'm guessing in like smaller portions.
Oh, definitely. A tiny baby portions, about 5-6 ounces a meal.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How does one mentally prepare themselves to even seriously consider this? Did you run this by friends and family? Did you get opinions?
No, I didn't tell anyone until I made the decision to get a consultation. Just because I wanted to do this for myself. And when you start talking to people, they tend to try to talk you out of it if they don't understand. Mm. So until I made the decision to go to the consultation, I didn't tell anyone.
So you had family try and talk you out of it? Did they think it was just a dangerous way to go about it?
No one did try to talk me out of it, but I didn't want to go through that just in case.
So when you made the announcement, there were some that voiced their concern?
Surprisingly, no.
Really?
My family was very supportive.
Okay. What about friends?
As far as I know, they were supportive. No one told me otherwise.
Because it's interesting, because any type of major surgery, were they just checking with you, but like, are you sure? Are you sure? That type of way?
My older sister, she likes to think things through more than, you know, I mean, not that I didn't think about this. So she just, you know, she kept asking me if I was sure. Mm-hmm. You know? But for the most part, everyone was pretty happy for me.
You've posted about body dysmorphia. How has that been a challenge for you, especially being of the Spanish culture where thick is the norm? What skews your view of yourself that you didn't agree with?
Well, with body dysmorphia, it's pretty normal after the surgery. I have my days where I don't see myself how I look now. I always see myself bigger than I am.
And that's always been an issue for you as far as just always with the struggle with weight?
Yes. Even before the surgery, I always saw myself bigger than I was. But that's also because my weight has always just been up and down.
It wasn't just an issue with food?
No, because I don't feel that I overate or, you know, I ate too much. Once I started the process, they noticed that I had symptoms of PCOS. One of the side effects of that is weight gain.
And PCOS, for those that don't know?
Okay, it's polycystic ovary syndrome.
What does that do to a person's body?
It's a hormonal imbalance, and it can cause weight gain, fertility issues.
It did cause issues with your body. Mm-hmm. And my other question is, before deciding to do the surgery, how would you combat these things affecting you before you even considered doing the gastric sleeve?
I didn't know that I could have PCOS till I started going to the doctors, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of doctor's appointments you have to go through before doing the surgery. So until I started doing tests and doing, you know, blood work and visiting all these stuff, I didn't know.
At the time you committed to doing the surgery, did you know what it consisted of? And if you didn't, were you surprised when you were doing your research?
The way it works is that, well, at least with my doctor, even after the consultation, he told me I didn't have to commit till the day before the surgery or the day of the surgery. So going through all of that, I still had time to back out at any time. From the moment that I decided that I wanted to look into weight loss surgery, I was just research all the time. I didn't want to go solely based on what my doctor was telling me.
So, I mean, take us through these rabbit holes that you will go to, like, researching this. Because if somebody's researching this and they go down the wrong path and see only the negative part of it, I mean, what are your views of that from what you did with your research?
Well, I just started with simple Google weight loss surgery, and you're going to get the basic three, which is the bypass, the sleeve, or the lap band. From there, I just feel like you need to look into all three and then decide what's best for you.
And with all three, because I do have a little bit of experience with going through someone who had that and who did the same surgery as you, but with the other two, what are the differences?
The gastric bypass, they reroute your stomach. Gastric sleeve, they cut out 80% of your stomach. And the lap band, they literally just put a band over your stomach so that you can't eat as much.
And what was that kind of deciding factor that I'm going to go with the gastric sleeve and having, you said, 80% of your stomach removed?
With the gastric sleeve, from my research, it was the only one that wasn't fully reversible. With the lap band, you can get it removed or adjusted.
Right.
And with the bypass, I'm not sure how true this is, but from what I've read, it can be reversed.
And how did you decide on the doctor?
It was recommended by my primary care doctor.
And you were going through the journey with him. How was that? Because you basically, you're handing your life over, you know, to him for a certain amount of time to do this surgery and to make sure it's done correctly. How was that evaluating him to make sure he was the right person? Because a recommendation is one thing. Mm-hmm. But you're in front of somebody.
Oh, no, definitely. Yeah. From the consultation when I first met him, he made me feel 100% comfortable. He was very open about everything, about what was going to happen. He went over all the statistics. He just went over everything. So I felt really comfortable with him. Mm-hmm. However, for anyone who is looking to do this surgery, I recommend, like, basically treating this like you're interviewing the doctor. Because, like you said, you're handing your life over to this person.
Right.
So if you feel uncomfortable or you feel like something's off with this doctor, move on to the next one.
What would someone need to, other than being comfortable with, as far as credential-wise, what does someone else need to look into to make sure they have the right doctor? Because anybody can make you feel comfortable. What are some of the cues you take from somebody, especially in the professional field, to be wanting to put your life in their hands? And I mean, his credentials, I'm sure he's been in the field for years.
Yeah, that was the thing. You know, I had to make sure that this was what he actually does, which he did. He went over, you know, all of that, his success rate.
Would you recommend him?
Oh, 100%. Him and his team were all amazing. They, you know, were on top of everything. They made sure I was comfortable. They made sure I was never, you know, in any pain or anything. They checked up on me all the time.
And no rush?
No rush.
Okay. Because that's a lot of people, they encounter doctors that are, you know, let's get this done, and, you know, looking at their watch, and God forbid. But
they were actually so on top of it that I was getting annoyed because they were checking up on me so much.
And checking up while, like, after the fact, while you're home, or after the surgery?
No, after the surgery, in the hospital.
Okay.
But after the surgery, once I'm home, I have access to them. Anytime I can send them a message, and I'll get a response.
And you talked about that you did certain things prior to deciding on the surgery, diet-wise. Do you think if you approached it different, it might have been a different outcome? Or you knew you were on the path to going down and doing the surgery?
Before the surgery, well, I wanted to leave the surgery as a last resort. Because of the PCOS symptoms that I had, even if whatever diet I did do, I was going to gain the weight back if I stopped dieting.
Right.
Because, again, that's one of the side effects, is weight gain from that.
Now, looking back, is there any prep work you missed that you wish you could have done to assist in either recovery or just make things a little bit smoother to help alleviate on how to best to prep? Because one of the things I like to live on is, yes, you do learn from your mistakes, but you're wiser if you learn from other people's mistakes. If you've encountered anything like that, what would you like to impart to those who want to do this and do it as smoothly as possible?
Are we talking post-op here?
Pre, post, like running the whole thing, which what you should have done. Because if somebody's listening to this and they're nervous as shit and they want to do this, they're researching, and they have contradictory things that they have to sift through. Somebody who's been through it, what can you tell them? Hey, in the beginning, I kind of missed the mark here, during, and after.
I'm not sure if I missed the mark. To anyone that wants to do the surgery, I would say, as much research as you're going to do, the internet is huge. You're going to get different information everywhere you look. I would say book the consultation. There is no commitment. You don't have to commit at all. Just go in for a consultation, speak to the doctor, get the information from them, what has worked for them, what they can give you more than the internet. Not more, but they can clarify things that the internet may not be able to.
Getting back on your feet must have been a challenge. Take us through what it was like to get back to some normalcy, and did you discover anything new about yourself through this recovery? Now, before you answer the question, I just want to say, you come off cool as a cucumber. You look like an Eskimo that can eat an ice cream cone in a snowstorm.
Yes, I
and
can.
And you chill, which is very admirable. But we have our moments, and you've gone through something life-changing. Mm-hmm. Getting back on your feet to be this cool cucumber, I mean, run us through how that was to get back to you.
I wouldn't say I got back to me. I think I reached a better version of me.
Awesome. Run us through that. That'd be great. So to give us some contrast with how you were prior to this new you.
I feel before the surgery, before the weight loss, I wasn't sad, but I was more like, I was more to myself in groups of people. Again, like I would basically just hide to myself. I wouldn't be so outspoken. And I wasn't always like that. I just feel like it got like that once the weight started coming on. Now, I feel like I'm so happy. Yeah, and just in general in life, I'm just so happy.
through your outlook changing, through you being closer to your goal physically, this happiness, where does it spring from?
I think it's being comfortable with myself, which I hadn't been for such a long time.
What are your thoughts on those that would say, well, someone should learn to be comfortable in their own skin without having to do something like this? And that's just hitting all sides, because of course I'm sure you've dealt with those that would comment and say, well, no, you didn't try hard enough prior, but they don't live in your shoes. They don't know what you go through. They don't see what you see. They don't feel what you feel. So what are your thoughts on that?
It's funny you mentioned that, because I was actually having a conversation online with somebody. He made a video about basically promoting something over weight loss surgery. So I told him, I was like, I think you should do a little more research before posting something like that, because people can't, which I learned this throughout the process from the surgeries, not everybody can lose weight naturally. Some people have underlying issues that doesn't allow them to lose the weight. So before posting something or saying something, you know, hurtful towards somebody, do research.
Right. And this person was just, it seemed like they were just coming off the top of their head with their unbacked opinions. Yes. To try and let you know that how they see you is just not right.
Yeah, and he had a couple of people, because they also, I guess, use the same products that he was promoting, and they were saying the same thing. So I just kept telling them, just do your research, because, you know, not everyone can just go to a gym or eat healthy and lose weight.
Also, so it kind of sounds like they were promoting a product and putting you down about it. Oh, try the stuff that I'm
taking. Yeah, they were trying to put down the weight loss surgery community, and it just didn't sit right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And did anybody, this was a private conversation, so was it held publicly?
Oh, no, it was under a video that was posted.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. What were some of the, did anybody come to your aid with, you know, facts and just, they basically defend you, even though you probably don't need it?
No, because I guess most of his following were from the company he was promoting.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It seems everything that you did, you have adjusted amazingly. Whatever you're selling, well, hopefully it helps somebody, but you're good. You have a tight-knit family. How have they shined in helping you recover?
Since the beginning, they've just always just been there. I didn't really need much after the surgery. My sister, she went to the hospital, even though she couldn't see me because they wouldn't allow visitors for COVID. She was downstairs. You know, she picked me up the next day. When I got home, my mom, you know, she had done a pot of chicken soup, even though I couldn't eat much of it, but it lasted me, you know, days. They just was always been there. One of my biggest, and I told her, I was gonna tell her this, my biggest support is my little niece. She's right. 4, and everything is like, oh, are you like, you okay after this? Like, this was after surgery. Are you okay? Does it hurt? Like, can you eat this? Even to this day, everything is like, can you eat this?
Now, the way you smiled by saying that, I'm guessing even her support meant the world to you.
Oh, of course. Of course.
is that your only niece? Or?
No, I actually have 3 nieces and 2 nephews.
And she was the one that was showing, like, hey, you know, are you good and everything? And this is a 4-year-old.
She was the one that showed it the most, yeah. Like, I even, from the doctor, they gave me, like, a PowerPoint stuff giving all the information. And even that, like, I showed it to her, so she understood what was happening.
Mm. And how is she? She's still the same way? Or just knows that you're good and everything?
Yeah, she still asks me for everything. Oh, can you eat that? Or, like, she sees me eating something. Oh, you could eat that?
And you've opened up to her and told her exactly everything that you did to... She knows about the surgery. She knows about what you do. She knows about why you're not eating as much as everybody around her.
Yes, she understands that. The way I explained it to her was, you take 3 bananas, you put them next to each other. You take away 2. So your stomach went from, you know, the size of 3 to the size of 1.
Mm-hmm.
So she understands that. She knows that I can't eat much or I can't eat certain things.
And is she the overprotective type? Like, she sees you, she makes sure you has the right portions?
Not as much anymore. I feel like more in the beginning. Mm-hmm. She was more like, more on top of it.
How was that adjustment with food? Going from how you were to how you are now, making that adjustment to your new normal and the amount of food you can have, the amount of drinking you can do. I mean, take us through that with getting back, you know, on the food horse, so to speak. And what were your realizations and challenges?
It was so difficult. What people don't realize is that you get the surgery and you know you can't eat as much or you can't eat certain things, but your brain hasn't learned that yet. So you still get all the cravings. You still, you know, think you can you still eat with your eyes basically and think you can eat a full plate of food. Mm-hmm. However, you take an extra spoonful of what you're supposed to and it's coming right back up. So that's, I think that's one of the most difficult issues after the surgery.
And that's one of the things you've experienced. That's what somebody will go through, but your own personal ones. You've done that, you've miscalculated what you've eaten, and then you gotta deal with the after effects.
More towards the beginning, I relied a lot on my food scale. So I wouldn't overserve myself. I wouldn't serve myself more than I know I shouldn't be eating. Now, I mostly eyeball it, but once I'm full, I feel it on my chest. Mm-hmm. So I know it's time to stop.
What's your favorite food?
My favorite food. I don't think I have one right now.
If I ever gone through this, I'd feel sorry for all the pizza shops because...
pre-surgery, anything, you know, Dominican says everything, rice, beans, you know, all of that. I'll have that any day, but...
Tres golpes?
Yeah.
But now, going forward, it's completely different.
Yes.
Okay. And what's normally your go-to for, like, a meal?
Right now, it's anything protein-based. So I have a lot of chicken, a lot of fish. I don't rely much on sides just because I know that I'm going to get full, and priority right now is getting in as much protein as I can.
What do you decide as a protein for yourself?
Mostly on chicken, but okay. I do I'll do beef or I'll do fish.
There's no one specific thing, it's just whatever sits well?
No, yeah.
Okay.
I'll have a lot of protein bars now and yogurt, but...
And something like that wouldn't be rough on the stomach or anything like that? I mean,
at my stage, no. Early on, yes.
Most focus on the weight loss as the main topic of this, but what are some of the things you still deal with post-op that just bug the hell out of you that you continue to deal with due to the surgery?
The only thing that annoys me a little bit is that I can't drink water while I'm eating.
Well, what does that do?
You have to... When you're going to eat, you can't drink 30 minutes before or after you eat just because your stomach is so little that you're going to fill up on whatever you drink. So you won't have enough space to eat the meal you're supposed to and get the nutrition from it,
right.
The nutrients from it.
I'm interested to know the time your stomach takes to process food. What has the doctors informed you about that? Is it something like does your stomach process the food quicker because it's smaller? And you have to have multiple meals during the day.
I don't think the processing time changes. I'm not sure about that. I just know that because your stomach is so small, if you eat too much or too fast, you'll get full fast. And again, you won't get the nutrients that you're supposed to from the meal.
So how many meals do you have a day?
Meals, I try to have 3. And I have 2 to 3 snacks a day as well.
And do you go with the same regimen of breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Or you figured out what works well for you?
I pretty much stick to the same thing just because it does work for me. But I'll change it up depending if I'm not home or I'm out. You know?
So if somebody goes to the surgery, they're back on their feet, they're getting ready. It's the summertime. You know, they want to have fun. Just be out there and take shots of how we're doing. Shout out to Casamigos. which I've just tried for the first time and is very good. Thank you. What are your recommendations to get back into it? Because I don't know if you're a party person, and if you are, how would you impart what you've done to them? So what did you do to start with, all right, I'm gonna get back into motion, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna go party, gonna go dance, gonna go have a good meal with a bunch of friends? What's your mind state, what's your mind frame, and how do you prep for that?
You mean now?
Now, yeah, after post-op. Because you're dealing with, you've already done it, and somebody is going to be on the cusp of doing that, and they want someone's experience to help guide them and be like, okay, she did this, let me see if this works for me. What did you do?
Well, post-op, I'm not much of a partier. I mean, I wish I could, but I'm not. Going out and like having drinks. So if you search online or depending on your doctor, they don't recommend you drink within the first 6 to 12 months. My doctor, however, he approved me after 3 months.
Really?
So it just depends on your doctor, yes. Just because our tiny stomachs is easy to become addicted. However, I did try at 2.5 months because it was my birthday. And it didn't affect me in any negative way. There are some people who alcohol or certain things do affect them differently.
Right.
Some people can't tolerate it, which is, you know, it just depends on you and your body. So for me, it was pretty easy to adjust if I wanted to go out, if I wanted to have a drink. I never had any issues with any meals that I've tried. So going out to the dinner didn't really affect me in any negative way. You just need to know your limit and when to stop.
Take us through that first dinner, that first sit down. You're either with friends or family or whomever, and you're gonna have an outside meal, some drinks, and what's going through your mind? What's the first thing you think of? Are you looking at where the bathroom is just in case, you know, something happens? And I mean, take us through that.
Well, the first time that we went out post-op, it was actually for my birthday. We went to Casa del Mar. I don't know if you've ever been there. Casa del Mar, yeah.
Yeah, I think my wife's been there. I don't know if I've been there.
In the Bronx.
Yeah, my memory's horrible. But yeah, I think she's been there.
And in my head, I didn't think I was going to, you know, drink or anything. But the owner from there, I know him. So he knew it was my birthday. So he said we got shots and stuff. So nice. I did have the shot. I mean, I didn't take it straight. I just sipped on it because I was scared. However, it didn't, you know, affect me in any negative way. As for the food, I decided to order the biggest thing on the menu, which was a crab stuffed lobster.
Yeah, you rolled big time. Okay.
So then when it came, it was like so big, and I literally took 3 bites and I was done.
Wow.
But if I would have kept going, it could have had a negative effect on me. I could have probably thrown it up. Mm-hmm. So I just took it home, meals for the next couple of days. But I've been lucky that throughout this, I haven't had any negative effects with food or alcohol.
Well, you seem like a very careful person, so I'm guessing you took every step very carefully.
Yeah, especially with alcohol, just because, again, because our stomach is so small, if we have a drink too many, it's so easy for us to black out. Mm-hmm. So I tend to know when to stop. I know my limit.
So I would say you're basically a person that is mindful of what your body's going through, regardless of whether you, even before the surgery or whatever.
Yes, just because I'm scared of any negative side effects. So okay. I ask myself, like, are you sure you could eat another bite? Or are you sure you could have another sip?
So what would your advice be to somebody who doesn't really have a leash on their cravings yet? They're going to go through this surgery. What would you impart to them and let them know? Be like, hey, you got this beast there on your shoulder. How would you advise them to handle that? Post, you know, after they do the surgery.
Post-surgery? Someone who can't control how much they eat or is not in tune with what they should be eating, or basically just have, some people have food obsessions. I say talk to a counselor. That's why weight loss surgery and therapy go hand in hand together, just because some people, even after surgery, because the cravings don't go away, they lose control. So post-op, people who normally overeat or are emotional eaters, if they can't get control of that, I would suggest therapy. Mm-hmm. And weight loss surgery and therapy go hand in hand together, just because people who are emotional eaters or can't get control of their eating, can't follow along with the regimen, they just need that extra help. And, you know, they need to figure out what the cause is of, or what the trigger is for that.
Right.
So they need to find alternative outlets, something to help them instead of turning to food, turning to something else, which is why they often recommend therapy after.
Have you done therapy yourself for this? Have you taken advantage of that?
I haven't. I'm not opposed to it. Mm-hmm. Maybe sometime in the future, but right now I haven't.
And that's just a personal choice?
Yes.
Have you dealt with a personality shift in your mental core of who you are after the weight loss? Now, I know you've expanded that you felt more happier. Expand on that with the shift, because a person who goes through this or who is about to go through this and they feel the same thing, what can they expect? Did you just see yourself and you see the difference and the happiness came, or what was that sort of realization?
I think I was always so self-conscious before the surgery because of my weight. So because I was so reserved then, after the surgery, once I started getting comfortable with myself and started, you know, feeling happier, I feel like I'm more outgoing, like I talk to more people. I mean, more online than in person because I don't go out as much, but right. I feel like I'm more outgoing. I'm open to meeting new people.
That kind of slides into my next question, is the added attention received. What wisdom can you impart to women not used to this newfound focus from men, and how to deal with it?
Well, at first, I was not used to all of this. I didn't know anybody was gonna follow me from this. The male attention at first I didn't know how to receive it. So it was affecting me mentally negatively. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I kept getting in a weird mood. And I feel like it was because I was reading all the messages that I was receiving from men. Like, some of them are just weird, to say the least. What I did, though, was I stopped reading messages. I won't go into my message requests as often as I did before. I won't, unless I see somewhere, like, you said you could see a sample. Like, unless I see something to do with the surgery, I usually don't open them. And I feel like that has helped me not mind it as much.
Right.
If anybody leaves anything, like a comment instead of a message, I'll block the person or I'll delete it just so that I don't see it.
So I think that was a wise choice to be for the listeners. It's, you had your Q&A session and you said, hey, ask me a question. Me being the jackass, I was like, hey, when are you going to be on my podcast? I didn't get any answer from the email. I didn't get an answer from the DM. It was funny. After that, you hit me up and you're like, I'll think about it. So it's very understandable. I could imagine.
I saw your message and I was like, okay, I don't have to answer right now because he won't see that I opened the message because it wasn't the message request. But then I got your email and I'm like, okay, like, you know. So I started thinking about it after the email. And then once it got to, like, the question, I was like, I can't avoid it now because he knows that I saw the question, which is why I answered you.
I'm interested to know because, I mean, I don't know. I'm new to this. It's, you see a message from somebody whose IG handle is, you know, FYI, I am Daniel. Like, what do you think when you see that even before you even read the message? And I know you were very adamant. You're like, I'm not a talker. There's nothing here. I mean, I don't know why you want to interview me, but stated before that, you know, that I think there's an awesome message here, and I think it's coming together very well. Take us through that once you saw my name, and it's like, what's the research you did?
Even the name. I think I was like, okay. When I saw the message, I was like, okay, it was the picture. Because I was like, it's not a picture of, like, a man or a guy or a boy or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's see. So I opened it. If it's a picture that's, like, a logo or like, a company, it's easier for me to open than if it would have been, like, a picture of you. So then once I opened it and I realized what it was, I saw that it was a podcast. And then that's why I was more open to it.
And... Well, shout out to your sister who kind of like gave you an additional push.
Oh, no, definitely. Ever since I told her, she was like, yes, just do it.
And I'm
like,
what's her name?
Maylin.
Oh, thank you, Maylin.
And she was the one who pushed me more to do this because this is so out of my comfort zone.
No, trust me. It's in, and I'll be honest with you. It's like I was discussing with my wife. I was like, I don't know. I think it's gonna be a silent podcast. I don't know. I said I hope my questions hit. I hope she's comfortable. I'm glad I gave you a comfortable space to have the discussion. And
oh no, definitely. From the first initial phone call we had, I was like, you know, I felt more comfortable. I was freaking out, but that was just me trying to talk myself out of it.
Really?
Yeah.
But freaking out how?
It's just I get in my head and I'm like, okay, like, why are you doing this? Like, get out. Like, no. So, but. I just decided to go with it.
No, and mm-hmm. I only could imagine, because doing my research on you and seeing a lot of the pushback you have to give to guys who don't even have an inkling of respect, mm-hmm. you know, towards a woman, which it's insane.
Yeah, I've learned that a lot of men just jump into commenting about, like, physical of a woman, and it's like, no, this is not what my page is about.
Right, exactly. And which is the one thing I admired, because you said off the bat, come correct or you will be blocked.
Yes.
And fellas, you gotta do better. And just to be clear, it's nothing about that. Like, no one should even approach you in that manner.
No.
Like, you're on your own thing. You're on your own time.
Yeah. I'm not looking for anything right now. I just felt like, even before the surgery, I just felt like... until I get things right with me.
Right.
I can't allow somebody to come into my life just because I don't want to waste their time. I won't let them get as close as they would want to get. I don't know. It's just a personal thing. I would have to fix me before I let anybody else in.
No, you seem very guarded, and that's a good thing, because you're working on every single part of you, mental, physical, yes. Everything. Where do you think you are to your goal? Quarter way there, you're halfway there, you're almost there. Where do you think you're at with where you would be to even, not to entertain that, I'm not even focusing on it. If you want to entertain that a possibility at somebody, but I don't even want to give anybody the ammunition to think of, you know, getting mm-hmm. themselves ready for you, because there are cycles out there like that. But to get yourself in a position to move forward in life, and besides, you're young. Mm-hmm. There's no rush. Why is there a rush? Yeah, but guys are always in a rush. So your goal-wise, where do you think you're at?
I say I'm getting pretty close. Just because I am getting so comfortable with myself, and so I'm happier with myself.
Get across to us the mental benefits of getting your ass in the gym to help bolster someone's mental framework. And I see it looks like you're in the gym a lot. and there's absolutely, that's an amazing thing. So how does the gym help you get through a rough day, or get through a blah day, or what is, because it seems like that's your therapy for now?
Yes, gym. Definitely. I've definitely been using gym as therapy, because I used to go to the gym earlier during this process. I used to go to the gym maybe 4 times a week. Now I find myself that if I'm home bored doing nothing, or I'm having a rough day, or I'll just go to the gym. I usually go in the morning, 5 a.m., just to set the tone for myself, because right. I find that even if I take a rest day, I'm like, oh, I should be at the gym today, or like, oh, I didn't go this morning, or, you know, I can't wait till tomorrow till I'm at the gym. But I see it more as like a stress reliever, or just moving. Which is weird for me, because before the surgery, I hated the gym. I hated going out. I hated doing anything mm-hmm. active.
Right.
Now, I love it. My head is always at the gym. I don't know if it's becoming an obsession. I'm not sure. but I just love it. It's such a stress reliever. Puts me in a great mood all the time.
Put us through your routine. What works for you that somebody can hopefully build on that may work for them when you're at the gym? Like, how do you start your workout? What do you do? Cardio, weights, or you know?
When I go to the gym, I always take at least 15 minutes to do stretches. And a lot of people skip stretching, but it's so important to warm your body up for any exercise you're going to do. Right now, I'm doing a lot of legs because that's my focus right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do set aside for upper body, or I'll do a full body of anything, and a full day of cardio. However, after any day, I try to end the day with at least 10 minutes of cardio. When I first started going to the gym, I was bigger on cardio just because I was trying to lose
right.
The weight. But since I'm not trying to lose as much, I don't put as much effort into it. I do a lot of weights for me, just for toning.
And what are the post-surgery, you're on your feet, you're getting ready to go back in the gym. What are the concerns you had going back in for the first time, and how did you progress because of the surgery, because of everything has changed? What did you do to basically not have a bad experience at the gym from the jump after surgery?
Well, I was terrified. When I went in to sign up for the gym, for the first month, I just looked at cardio. Then I spoke to a friend, and he helped me, you know, come up with a plan for weights and stuff. So I started doing my research beforehand. You know, I looked up how to use any machines that I didn't know how to use, which is important. Or you can always ask a trainer or somebody at the gym, they'll help you. So I did a lot of research on what he was asking me, the plan we came up to for the workouts. And then from there, I just started experimenting. You know, now I know more or less what works for, like, what weights or what workouts work for me.
So what was that initial plan? What was that initial path of attack you had to post-surgery, get your workout, make sure you have a good workout, it's careful on your body that's, you know, still recovering?
Well, when we came up for the plan, because it was so early on, I wasn't 3 months post-op yet. I couldn't really do a lot of weights. So I started off really light, like 10, 15. And then from there, every time things became easier, I just increased them.
Mm.
And even now, when things become easier, I just increase the weights.
Do you do anything outside of the gym as far as like maybe running or anything that also helps with the physical activity for a person post-surgery?
I don't run. I can't run. I don't know why. But like if I'm in my sister, she lives in Jersey, I'll do walks with the girls and stuff like that. But nothing really
biking or anything like that? No. Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't mind, but I just haven't.
Now, has there been an emotional impact, I guess, ranging between pre, during, and post-surgery that you had to deal with, reflect on? It's a very, to those that couldn't get in their heads a little bit more, and what are some of the things you faced emotionally dealing with this, if at all? Because again, you know, cool as a cucumber.
I don't think I've had to deal with anything too emotional right now.
I don't like to pigeonhole anyone, or because most, what are the statistics between men and women having this surgery? Is it more women? Is it more men? Is it almost as equal? Have you run into that type of statistic?
I haven't looked into the statistic. However, I feel like women are more vocal about it. Mm-hmm. But there are men who get the surgeries as well. Women are just more vocal about it.
I kind of think that might be correct, which is why I ask, because if anybody can be an emotional person, but mm-hmm. the weight is normally mostly on women. Mm-hmm. Dealing with those people that would think, you know, oh, I would feel this way or go that way, in that emotional space, it seems like you were pretty good. So there wasn't anything that you had to deal with as far as surgery-wise, that it's just something you had to reconcile within yourself, you know, regarding the surgery and how you're changing and how, you know, you have this new you. What do you think?
No, the only thing for me is, like we touched, was the body dysmorphia thing, which, you know, I have my good days, but then I also have my bad days. I mean, it's also not as bad as a lot of people, other people get it. Mm-hmm. I've spoken to people who just can't see the change in their body. Okay. But it hasn't been too bad for me.
Now that's interesting, because if you're comfortable discussing it, how do you, if you're having a bad day, what makes it bad and how do you course correct and make everything right, or how do you get to a better space in your head after dealing with that, you know, bad day?
I think of maybe before surgery, and how far I've come. Because although I can't see it in that moment, I know there's been a huge change in my life.
Right.
In such a short amount of time.
Do you feel depression? Do you feel anger? What are your feelings when you do have the bad day?
I don't think it's depression or anger. It's more of a discomfort within myself. Because I'm learning how to be so comfortable with me, on those days I do, you know, get uncomfortable. And I'll find myself like throwing on a big t-shirt or, you know, going back to what I did before.
And what pulls you out of that?
The gym.
Back to the gym.
The gym, it goes back to it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So if you guys are listening, man, just hit that gym. you feel a little bit weird, if you have a home gym or whatever, get to it, man. How has this helped you with your business? Has it hindered it in any type of way? Has it given you new life for your business? Or, I mean, take us through that. But first, take us through your business and what you do, how you do, and what are you doing for the people out there with your products and everything else.
Okay, so my company's named Glow by Jen. It's a hair care and skin care. Everything is naturally made. I feel like since the surgery, it has kind of affected my business negatively, just because I haven't put as much effort into it. Mm. I mean, I still have my clients and I still have people who consistently order from me and stuff. For me, my energy towards it, like I haven't put as much into it, so much effort into it. I guess it kind of affects it in a negative way.
So do you feel that the lack of energy, is there a lack of energy?
From
after?
Me, yes.
Okay.
From me, yes. I do have plans for it. I do want to release more items. I do want to revamp basically the whole company. So we'll see.
You feel you're getting back on the horse and just getting everything lined up? Or are you giving yourself a little more time, get into the right space to hit everything the way you wanted to?
I'm trying to get back into the groove of it and try to, you know, come up with a plan of how I'll do that comeback.
I'll pick you up whenever you need.
But everything is always in well, not always, but a lot of things are in stock at the website, so awesome. Check it out.
What's the website's name?
It's www.globebygen.com.
We'll link up any information, so you guys check it out. What are your final thoughts that you want to impart to people doing this or wanting to do it, and they're basically comparing notes because they've been through it and they see what you're doing, and whatever you want to share with them?
Anyone wanting to do this, I say do it, but do it for yourself, not because you have a partner who would prefer it, or even for your kids. No, do it for yourself. Just book the consultation, like I said before, go talk to the doctor, and just do a lot of research. You'll figure out if it's the right thing for you.
Is there any shout outs you'd like to give?
I'm gonna shout out you.
Oh, I wouldn't recommend that.
No.
Hey, hit me. What do you got? Hey, I'm just a host.
I know, but shout out to you because you got me here. And like we've said before, and I've told you a dozen times, like, this is so far out of my comfort zone. I wouldn't do this. I never thought that people would be interested in this. So you contacted me, and, you know, even online, everybody who I talk to on a daily basis, just thanks. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you graciously accepted, and I am honored to put your story out there, and I hope it helps as many people as possible either get off their ass, do something different, alleviate their stresses of wanting to do this, and get it done. And I really just hope it puts people in a good space to realize that, you know what, this is a viable option. Definitely. And everything I've seen from how you handle yourself and what you do for yourself, it seems like a pretty good option. But as always, get your doctor's consult and run yourself through the gamut of whatever you need to make sure you do this correctly, because if you do it correctly, you have a good outcome, because you seem like your outcome is amazing.
Definitely. I'm trying. I was going to go through with this. I wasn't going to go back. So I have to I have to put everything I can into it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mention your business again. Where can they reach you? What's your spaces online that they can visit? Hit them with it.
So yeah, my website is globebygen.com. Glow is GLO, and that's also the Instagram, Glow by Jen. And my Instagram is just Genesis with an underscore on the bottom. And if anybody has any questions, you can always just message me. I'm so open. I'm an open book about anything.
And if you're the type of person that doesn't have a pen in hand and don't want to re-listen to this, everything is linked up on my FYI I Am Damaged podcast and my IG. We follow each other, so it's easy to see where she is, what she's doing. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, if you know somebody or you think you have a story to tell and you want to come on this podcast, by all means, please hit me up. Thank you, everyone, for joining me for another episode of FYI, I Am Damaged.
Hey, this is Genesis, and FYI, I Am Damaged.
Take care.
Thank you.